Hello and welcome to the Sportsbet Greyhound Racing Podcast. The Non-Chasers, we've officially called it now. I'm your host, Patrick Garshagan, and I'm joined here, as always, with the ever-reliable Squirrel, Simon Ainsworth. Welcome, Simon.
Great to be here, Paddy.
And, of course, to my left is Andrew Gunner. Welcome, mate.
Hi, Paddy. How are you going?
Mate, I am very well. I'm excited to get stuck into the Sandown.
You're sporting a rather large scratch on your forehead there, mate.
I am.
Did someone forget to cut their nails at footy training?
No, funny you ask. I actually got scratched by my dog. So very suitable.
Is that because you fed him chocolates?
No, actually, he wakes up very early in the morning, my dog, and he's staying at mine currently, and he thought he'd jump up onto my bed at about 6:30, and I generally put my arm out of the covers, but it's very cold at the moment down here in Melbourne, Gunner, and I was getting a bit too cold, and I put my arm back under the covers, and he didn't have an arm to lick, so he's just poured out, just like he's in the boxes there, and he just scratched me forward. I look like Harry Potter.
Well, at least he's a bit better behaved than your beloved Melbourne Demons Christian Petrakis dog.
Oh, I know. Jeez, dogs are the flavor of the month in AFL, aren't they? And on the non-chasers as well, isn't it? Boys, let's talk about the Sandown Cup. It's the richest race for the staying event in the world.
It is.
175 big gorillas. You mentioned off air, Gunner.
Yes.
Exciting night.
Yeah, great prize money there for whoever takes it out.
Yep.
And I heard you saying as well, Gunner, that the big wigs there at Sandown Park have dusted off the early start time, and they've taken it back to a 7 p.m. start. So you have enough time to get down there after work, or alternatively, you can just bunker down on the couch and listen to the tips we'll offer today and get set for a big night on the punt.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait. Three great feature events, all Group 1 events. So, yeah, 7:07 start Thursday night. So be there or be on the couch watching.
And I know Mick Floyd's a big fan of the show. they've done a great job assembling 12 terrific races on Thursday night. The Speedstar was terrific last week. So to have 3 weeks in a row, great racing. They've attracted really good fields. So, really looking forward to the racing.
They do it well down there at Sandown. Boys, I do want to ask, the Speed Series last week, the Speedstar, what a spectacle. How great was it?
It was great for everyone involved. I think, as Gunner just mentioned, Sandown do a really good job of marketing it and putting on a great show there. So we saw the best go round. No huge surprises, like Rip and Sam won the Stayers. Tornado Tears absolutely flew in the race callers to win the $5.95. And Dinah Patty, the namesake for our host here, has taken not the chocolates but the smackos, and beat the favourite, Poke the Bear. So it was an absolutely amazing night of racing, and you'll see quite a few of those who went around last week in these feature events on Thursday.
Boys, I must ask, the question remains in my head, why are they not doing this match racing around Australia in other places? Why is Sandown the only greyhound racing club to give this one a bit of a crack?
I think, as we've said before, Sandown's a great progressive club. They're forward thinking. Greg Miller runs the show down there, does a really good job. But it's a great team down there, Mick Floyd, Jason Adams. So, look, they're out in their own in front at the moment, on the lure, basically.
Ping the lids.
And all the other clubs should take note and be looking on how to develop the Greyhound product, and that is definitely one series that I think, as you say, should be adopted by other
any club that can let us race a human against a Greyhound is a club that we love. Are there any other clubs that have any chance of adopting it soon? Or?
Not really sure. None have really, I guess, shown in the past. There's a race that they hold in at Albion Park during the winter where they have a four-dog field. That's probably the closest in terms of sort of the invitational matching one against another type event, but none others have done the head-to-heads, but there's no reason why they couldn't do it. I think the series is being developed in the right manner with a bit more input, a little bit more public awareness of it. There's no doubt that this can definitely grow in years to come.
Very well said. Now, Gunner, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Last week you came out and said, look, I'm not the multi-man.
I'm not. And for reasons we're about to demonstrate.
You lobbed up with a 7-leg match racing greyhound multi. What happened?
I think I got three or four out of them. So as I said during the podcast last week, I don't do multis, and for this reason. So just stick to if you like something, and the odds are over their true probability, back it. Don't worry about backing it into something else.
And how did yours go at school?
No good either, mate. So back to the basics this week. We'll stick to finding the winners. I think we sort of found the winners in the overall events, but the head-to-head matches, there was a few that stumbled us, yeah.
Very good. Boys, on that note, let's crack on to things.
Yeah, let's rip
in. We've got a bumper 12-race card. You know, of any night that they could have started it early, it probably could have been this one. Race one, it's obviously the heats for the Harrison Dawson over 515 metres, and there's some names that we've seen before. So we're not going to run through the whole field, but just want to sort of get your best bet and you know, something, a storyline or something you see coming out or into this race. Start with you, Skrill.
Yeah, this one's actually the state of origin of the card. There's actually dogs from every state except for Tassie. So you will get to see, some really great racing. It's a really hard race to start off with. Not available as drawn exactly where it wants to. Four from four from the inside. So I'd be leaning to that one as my top pick. Lightning Frank out in the eight. We've spoken about this before. He's a box eight bandit, absolutely lives for the pink box. I think he could be up there close to leading, but, yeah, not available, probably a bit stronger towards the finish. So, yeah, I think, the one and the eight box is the box to look for. Great race to start the card.
Absolute cracker. And that one dog not available, I could not tell you how many people have gone onto a race card on the sportsbet.com.au page and gone, the bloody markets aren't up yet. The first dog is not available. It's just the name. But I'm genuinely telling you, it happens. But
well, yeah, there's a harness runner in WA that's called Hold All Tickets. So I think a few of these are getting past the stewards.
Jesus.
Mm.
And we thought naming a horse was hard on our end. Jesus. So not available for you, Skrill. How about you, Gunner?
This is the only race that I'll go into a bit more detail on. I think it's probably the most complicated race of the 12, as Simon was touching on. Not available, perfectly drawn, but probably getting short enough in the market. Max Profit from WA has really good speed, hasn't performed too well when it's crossed over to the eastern side of the country. Thought Poke the Bear was starting to get out to good odds. Jumps much better than early on in his career, so I don't think the squeeze box is as much of an issue. Slick races really well with early room, always competitive when it travels. And I know Lightning Frank really enjoys box eight, but I think as he's getting a bit older, I think he's a one-bend dog. I don't think the short run to the post at Sandown and the two-turn tracks really suit him in a field like this anymore.
Very well said. Now, Skrill, you said this is the state of origin of greyhounds. Bit of a question without notice, but where's the dog from Northern Territory? Where's the representation?
No, state of origin, not state, state and territory. Oh,
no, that's a territory, so no dogs from the ACT, none from Northern Territory.
I don't think there'll be many from the ACT anymore.
I was genuinely curious. I thought, Northern Territory, they brought one down to the trip.
They do have racing up in Darwin, not many are bred up there, but... Yeah, I was just going basically on the major states,
The ones that count.
Here we go.
This is a nationwide show. You're throwing these grenades in, gutter. So, boys, not available for you, Skrill. Yep. And
I'm going Poke the Bear at the odds. Not available, really well drawn, but probably been well found enough in the market. So, yeah, go with Poke the Bear and Max Profit each way.
Beautiful. Let's touch base on the second race, which is the second heat of the Harrison Dawson. Start with you, Scott.
Yeah, so Aston DB, the Melbourne Cup winner, is making his return to the track in this race. He hasn't drawn well at all. He's out in the six box. So we're probably going to take him on. So if the sports bet punters
one worse, the seven.
The seven. The black
So, yeah, it's got My Redeemer, in the six, which is a very handy dog, has performed really well recently from that box. So, yeah, we're prepared to take on DB, top of the market at the moment. So, yeah, if you want to, if you like DB, Sportsbet's the place to go to get a good price. But I thought it was another tough race. If anything, I like Victor Dora from the box one each way. It's about $10 at the moment. So that's where I'd be steering the punters.
Surely Sienna Thompson, after winning the Melbourne Cup, can just say, we don't need to race it anymore. We've won enough prize money with this one.
It is going to stud, but Yeah, I think, you know, it's still pretty young. It's only 3 years old now, so they probably want to have at least another prep in it and then head to stud probably later in the year. But, yeah, he's had a few issues and obviously it'll be interesting to see how he comes back first up.
For the Seinfeld fans, do you remember the Victor Dora?
The ship that sunk?
Yeah, collided with the Stockholm in dense fog 35 miles off the coast of Nantucket, didn't it?
You are the Seinfeld whiz, so yeah, I'll take your word for that quote.
It's in my book, Astonishing Tales of the Sea.
I'm trying to think of that. The zinger you came out with last week, the toothpaste or something. What was it?
The Listerine.
Listerine. Jesus. Yeah, we moved on from that.
So, Gunnar, on that note, are you going Victor Dora or
No. Sink as well? So, my Redeemer's the up and comer in the David Gill kennel. So, as Jill, uphill Jill, gets towards the end of her career, this one's on the way up. I like the draw for it. It's been pretty reliable recently, so it looks hard to beat here. I thought Coup de Mayhem, if it found its best form, was probably starting to get out to a decent price. I think it placed in the Melbourne Cup, I think.
Yeah. Huge run. It missed, completely bottled the start and ran on.
And it's been restricted to sort of one turn events recently, but if it finds its best two bend form, then it's getting out to double figures and probably not a bad each way bet.
Love it. All right, we're going to push to race three. The first heat of the Sapphire Crown. Now, why do they do this? I mean, you could just chuck all the heats in a row and then do the stand, and then the Sandown Cup and then the Sapphire Crown last. Why do they sort of mix and match them?
Mixing it up. Well, the main event's the Sandown Cup, so they put all the key heats of that into the quaddie, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So I guess, yeah, like there's a little teaser at the start for the Harrison Dawson and the Sapphire Crown, and then it finishes on night off with those heats as well. So, yeah, they try to put the best races in the quaddy legs, so that's why I think it's spaced like it is.
That is a splendid answer, Skrill. Now we're going to, as I said, pushing on to that third race and then the name that pops out, Dinah Patty, all 26.4 kilos of the little girl. The $2.20 favourite. Is she going to win this first heat? Sapphire Crown Squirrel.
Yeah, look, she's a bit inconsistent, a bit like you, Patty, with her starts. But she was amazing in the speed star. She's drawn in the two, which she hasn't drawn this close to the rail before. So she is a little hit and miss, but I feel like she's, you know, hitting her straps, getting the starts right. I think she'll nail the start. And if she finds clear air, there's nothing that's going to be able to go with her. Burn Like Fire is an absolute jet out of the boxes. Like, that will, like, nail the start and lead. But I think Patty will get the right run through and be too strong late.
You teed that up for a gag perfectly for Gunner there, for Burn Like Fire.
I don't think this show's deep enough into its career yet to be start going into STIs and all that sort of thing. But
Wimbledon Cutie as well. That's another one you came for last week.
But, yeah, it's an interesting one. It's dropping heavily back in distance, Wimbledon Cutie, and probably won't have the pace early. But if something opens up along the rail, it'll definitely poke its nose through. I couldn't really go past Dinah Patty in this one, but I like the fact that Burn Like Fire is drawn under Ella Enchanted. Ella Enchanted gets back a little bit, can miss the start, but if it could tag on the back of Burn Like Fire, I think Ella Enchanted could run over the top of all of them. At the moment, it looks like she's going to drift out over the $5 mark, and if she starts getting out to the $6 mark, I definitely think she's a good bet at that price.
Very good. Well said. Let's crack on to race four, the second heat of the Sapphire Crown now. And Uphill Jill definitely stands out for me. $1.60 with us you can currently get. Is it going to be too good, Squirrel?
I think so. She hasn't brought her best recently. Obviously, Splendor Miro got her up at Wentworth Park. This is a lot easier field. She's back against the girls. She's shown she can easily do it from this box. I think back down in Victoria, back at Dave Gill's place, she will be back to, you know, her normal work. So I think we'll see her back to her best. $1.60, yeah, a bit skinny for me, but I think she'll just win.
I'm going to pot her. She's
had not a, our girl.
I absolutely love her, and I've got absolutely zero against the dog.
What have you got against her then?
Well,
$1.60.
She has shown that in the first go in the heats, she can sometimes just get through running second, and she's done that a little bit recently. She's had a lot of travelling, a lot of racing, and I guess there's only so many times you can go to the well. I thought if Solitary Girl jumped at her best, she might be a little bit of a pest underneath Jill Early, and for that reason, I thought Envy Heist or Go Seek Heidi would be better bets in this race.
Well, very nicely summed up there. I mean, the seven black rug is always going to throw a spanner amongst the pigeons. That makes no sense. But I'll go with it. Anyway.
Like rocket surgery.
Oh, brilliant.
Good stuff. So screw you. You're with that Uphill Jill to be too good.
Yep.
And Gunner, you're laying Uphill Jill and going against her.
Yeah, I think Envy Heist from the one looks a good bet.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the heats, Uphill Jill doesn't get through, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, yep, absolutely, yep.
You got to win your heats. It's a simple equation. All right, boys, Sandown Cup Heat 1.
Yes, this is what we've all been waiting for. So, Buck Harley in the 6. You would have seen him in the Speed Star. Was in Rip and Sam's match race, and actually went with him for a long, long way. Rip and Sam pulled away down the back, but then he sort of held his ground. So only lost by 4 lengths. So it was a huge run. It seems to be, it's found its right distance now at the 7:15. Should have no problem crossing over from the 6 box. Should run around that sort of 41:70 mark and, I think be too good for them.
I liked Quick Jagger in box 1 here. I don't think the tight turns of Sandown ultimately suit it. I just found it was a tricky speed map, this one, trying to line up the dogs, and I thought that Quick Jagger could hold a decent spot on the rail, and he does seem to race well when he comes over to Vic, so thought that he might be hard to get past if he gets his nose in front early. Simon, thoughts on Sharp Diamond? It's pretty big odds, and its record's not too bad.
Yeah, we spoke about this. It was in the Speed Star. I thought it was a little disappointing in the Speed Star. It obviously was a 2-dog race and had every chance, and Sir JJ got the better of him. I think it was Sir JJ. But, look, not for me. I think it could easily run a place. I spoke about it last week. I think it's a funny dog. It doesn't switch on the whole 100% of the time. So, look, it could run a place. It just hasn't won for a long time, I think. So, yeah.
Okay.
Not for me.
Okay.
Loves a second. Boys, I want to ask a question. I figured you two would be great to ask this one. And this is for the listeners out there. Now, number 9, Jane's Intention, it probably won't run, but its weight is 29.5 kilos. Now, you look at Sir JJ, who's 36.9. That's what, almost seven kegs heavier. What difference or what does the weight of a dog bring into a race? Is it an advantage? Is it a negative?
If you think of humans, you wouldn't find a little skinny bloke in the 100 metres, but you'd find him in the marathons. So, the sprinters are generally like big-chested, very explosive dogs. Sir JJ is like one out of the box. He's like a huge dog which can run 700 metres. So you'll find generally the bigger dogs, they do tire later, but he gets stronger. Like it's just one of those things which is
an anomaly.
Yeah. But yeah, like they come in all shapes and sizes. You'll generally find the smaller bitches, obviously because they're a bit lighter, they can stay a bit longer, like a marathon runner would, because they don't have as much muscle on and all that. But they come in all shapes and sizes. I've found with the bigger dogs I've had, like I've had one that's 40 kegs. Yeah, it'll run 400 metres and then that hit the wall.
Bloody kaput.
It also it makes a difference early on, doesn't it? If you've got a big dog that's drawn near the rail and it gets a little bit of interference early, obviously it can hold its position a little bit better because it's got bigger size. Sometimes you'll see a girl get crossed, might be under 30 kilos. If it can't compete with dogs that have got a lot more weight around it, it tends to get shuffled out the back. And quite often the lighter dogs will be better early on until a bigger dog musters speed and then it brings itself into the race later. But that's I guess you're talking generalisations there. There are always dogs that will break that pattern, and Don a double one was a bit like that, wasn't he?
He's a big dog. Yeah, so like Fernando was a really light male dog, so, you know, about 29 kilos. Obviously had explosive speed, but because he was a light male, he could sort of – he had the petrol left in the tank late. But, yeah, double one wasn't as explosive early, but, geez, once he hit the ground, he could really power away from them. So, yeah, look, it is something you do look at in a race, but it's not – yeah, as you can see with Sir JJ, doesn't mean everything, like – they come in all shapes and sizes.
That is an absolute class. I love that. I sat there and listened, and that is genuinely some great insight from two greyhound traders where you wouldn't, you know, generally hear elsewhere. And I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, I'll back a one dog if it's heavier than the two and the three dog." And I thought, "Oh, that's bloody nonsense sometimes." But there's sense to the theory. So thanks for that one. And all you listeners out there, and I'm sure you'll thank me too when you're
hopefully
back.
They got something out of it.
Yeah. Now Sir JJ will win the 700.
Yeah.
Very good, boys. Race six now, the second heat of the Sandown Cup. Tornado Tears, another blistering winner in the Speed Series. Jumping from the second alley, Squirrel.
Yeah, and like you probably wanted Rip and Sam and Tornado Tears to meet in the final for the spectacle. The good thing is the top two go through to the final, so you'd expect both of them to go through, and we'll get another mouth-watering affair. But, yeah, this is great. This will be great to watch. The rest of them, like, there's not much to them, so it really is a two-dog race. Tornado Tears, obviously a lot quicker to begin than Rip and Sam, so should be out on the bunny early. He's obviously stepping up from the 5.95. Rip and Sam had the 7.15 under his belt. So yeah, it'll be like Tornado Tears is the rabbit, the lure, and Rip and Sam will be chasing him. I think Tornado Tears will be able to hold him off. But yeah, just it'll be great to watch. It's great to see the best dogs against each other.
Why is it that these two meet in the heat?
Yeah, ideally you would like them to meet in the final, but there are certain guarding purposes where you can separate your dogs if they're in the same ownership, but they're different owners. It is the same kennel, but I think I heard it was done by a ranking system, and Tornado Tears is ranked, like Sam was one and Tornado Tears is about 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm probably a bit off the mark there, but that was how it was done. It was a grading issue, so they couldn't be separated in different heats.
It's probably got something to do with the runs over 700, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. So Rip and Sam's was the number one ranked. I think there's this prize money thing now at the moment with the amount of prize money they've won over the distance, and, yeah, that's why Tornado Tears sort of fell into that basket. But, yeah, I think they'll meet in the final as well. I think it'll be, the 1-2.
And your thoughts echo that one,
Tornado Tears, nothing else to say about this race. One leads, the other favourite doesn't. I expect Tornado Tears probably shortening the market. You can get around the $1.75, $1.80 mark. I think it probably starts shorter than that. And to be honest, it looks a good bet.
Great stuff. All right, guys, we'll take a quick breather and then we'll come back as we hit the back straight, the last six heats of Sandown on Thursday night. We'll be back in a second. All right, welcome back to the Non-Chasers, the Sports Bet Greyhound Racing Podcast. Always met with a little giggle when we mention the Non-Chasers from you, Andrew Gunner. I like it. As I said, we're in the back straight now of Sandown Park. Race 7, the third heat of the Sandown Cup, the Quaddy Legs, Squirrel.
That's right. So this is a good race. This has got Dinah Chancellor, who flew over the 5.95, stepping up to the 7.15 for the first time. Now, it meets one of our favourites, Evie Ripper, who Gunner will, declare cannot win.
Yep.
But it has won three out of its last four. So I actually think she can win against Dinah Chancer, because I just don't think Dinah Chancer, first up over this distance, is going to be able to hold out some of these dogs. There's Moment to Jive, Back on Lava, Mernie on Corners. A lot of them have already run the 7.15 out, and I think he'll be found wanting late. So I'm prepared to take on Dinah Chancer. I think Back on Lava is a great bet each way. definitely should run a place in my mind. And, yeah, I give Ebby Ripper a chance.
I'll tell you why Ebby Ripper can win, because she's 26.7 kilos. And judging by the
Thunder's home.
The masterclass I got minutes ago, that's the perfect weight for a staying event.
Yeah, and she also gets back and she thinks about it and then she won't run past things. So I've seen it all before.
Three out of last four, Gunner. So
against two and where.
group events at Wentworth Park.
Positive ROI, mate. That's all that matters. Who wins this, Gunner?
Moments of Jive for mine. Very well drawn. She hasn't travelled too well when she's come over to the East, but if she brings her Cannington form, I mean, it took, 660, 70-odd metres for Rip and Sam to run her down in the Galaxy. So I think if she leads here, Sandown should really suit her because she sticks to the rail really well. So the tight turns, if she gets out in front, she'll be really hard to run down. So I liked her.
Very good. Moment to Jive really feels like she's flying under the radar, I feel as well. All right, guys, race eight, the fourth and final heat.
Fourth and final. One of our favourites is in it, Benali, yeah, John O'Brien's uncle's dog. He's been flying recently since we've started talking about him. So he's drawn exactly where he wants in the one for this distance. In the 595, we liked him out in the eight, but I think he gets the straight line here. He'll probably hold them out, and he'll be in it for a long way. It is his first go at 715, but his brother has shown that he's very good over the 715 first up. So I think, Benali's the one to beat. There's a few there that are doubts for me. Belt like Beckham's first up for a while. If he brings his best, he can definitely win. He's absolutely motors home. A bit like Rip and Sam, but yeah, Benali for me.
Like Simon, I had a few question marks on dogs running over the trip for the first time here. Not really betting propositions for me, because although some might appear that they'll run it out on paper, they don't always. They can be brilliant for a sectional, but they can't really sustain it. So there's always question marks. So the dogs that Simon's already mentioned, and then you've got Rockhoon, who was a boom dog before. He got injured and he's only just recently come back. I wish the helmets all the best with him. I hope that he's in really good form and we see the best of him, but yet again, it's a question mark. So on the basis of that, I thought Magic Hornet was a big price. Dog that's coming down from Albion Park, really likes an inside draw, and this runner can be really hard to get past once it finds the lead. So I thought it was pretty big odds. And the other one I liked was Destroyer out in the eight.
Just about like the whole field there.
Yeah, just
bit
two.
Bit of that.
At odds. At odds.
I didn't mind Destroyer either.
Raccoon, yeah. Magic Hornet.
And then I didn't like Raccoon. I didn't.
I'm just...
There's scenes in the non-chasers.
All right. Just as the disclaimer, I am saying that Destroyer and Magic Hornet are the better bets. Two dogs.
Behind Benali. If anyone can get it right, it's Robert Britton, surely.
Yeah, he's the gun.
Race nine. We're back to the Harrison-Dawson heats now. Skrill?
So this is a really good race. Hecton Bale is absolutely flying at the moment. Thought he would get enough room in this race to be strong late. I liked Aston Duke to probably lead and, get across to the rail. Loves one and two boxes. I thought Hecton would be just a bit too strong late for Aston Duke.
Yeah, not a huge amount of speed in this race, which will definitely suit Hecton Bale, but it still is a little bit of an awkward draw for it. I liked Morris Minor here. It's been going really well since it came down from Queensland. It's not a dog that you'd really like to tip where there is a lot of speed. I think it can be in the first few in this one, and geez, this dog really runs on strong late. So I liked Morris Minor. I thought Zipping Captain would look like it mapped pretty well in this race.
Very nice. And any relation with Pants on Fire and Burn Like Fire?
I don't know, Simon's your man for that one.
No, there's not. No, different. No, just the fire. There's a lot of dogs with fire in their name.
Oh, very good. All right, lads, race 10. They're at the final heat of the Harrison-Dawson. What do we like here? We'll start with you this time, Gunner.
Raw ability, really well drawn. It's short in the market, but yeah, when this dog gets an inside draw and hits the lead, it can be really hard to run down. Adelaide Cup winner, I think. And it showed in some really good form in really big races. So raw ability.
Should win. It should be too good. Hasten Slowly was the one I gave a little chance to, but yeah, Raw Ability against this field, multiple Group 1 winner should be too good.
Beautiful. All right, race 11, Sapphire Crown Heat 3. We're finally getting towards the end of the Sapphire Crown Heat, sir.
So this race, Miss Splendor Miro is coming down from New South Wales. We've spoken a fair bit about her recently up at those Wenty Park races. She knocked off Uphill Jill last start. Good thing is she's seen the track. She had a trial in between Speed Star races, I think, last week, and trialled really well. Expect her from the two to be getting across to the rail. And, yeah, we've seen how strong she is, so she'll be too good, I feel.
Very good. You can't complain against a picket fence in the form one, can you?
No. The victory pickets. She jumped just about as good as I've ever seen her jump. In that final that Simon was talking about against Uphill Jill. A dog that's got the arsenal of good early speed and a big run home like she has. If she continues the habit of jumping well, it's not... I mean, she's going to win this, but there's not too many dogs in Australia that will be able to go with her if she can jump well. So, yeah, she looks a very good thing in this race.
An absolute punter's best friend, the early speed, isn't it?
It is.
Well, yeah, that's greyhound racing.
Yep.
Running tick before 11 o'clock at night is the last of the Sapphire Crowns, and Come On Emma Lion is a favourite with us from the one alley.
Yeah, it's got the speed. Interesting race. Zoom Out was the one that was just run down by Strike A Light in the Warrnambool Cup final. Zoom Out should lead with Come On Emma Lion. It's Zoom Out's first go over the 515, so a few doubts there, but it should be up there for a long way. Come On Emma Lion is also a bit weak late. Interesting runner is the 8 dog. It's actually Ricky Ponting's dog, Miss Innings.
Really?
Punter's got one in this race. Cool. And it is a funny dog, this one. It can go with a lot of dogs. It's one of those dogs that likes to run alongside dogs. And
it gets a little bit sociable, does it?
Yeah, it does. It's matched it with Uphill Jill, Blue Gum Hill, Poke the Bear, these sort of dogs recently. I think it's a great place chance. I'd be backing at the place because a lot of these dogs that'll be up in front will be tiring late. So could pinch it. Wouldn't be surprised if it wins. But, yeah, Miss Innings each way would be my bet.
When we say it's Punter's dog, does he own the...
He's actually in the ownership. Yeah, it's Punter's dog. So anything with Innings, we spoke...
Owns a few.
Yeah, he's big into the...
Jeez,
that's how he got his name.
Talk about...
Yeah, he got his name punting on greyhounds.
Really? Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. Boys, we'll take another quick breather, get our breath back for the final segment. We've got a little multi. We've got your absolute best bets of the night, and we've got your lay of the evening, or barking mad, as we like to call it here on the Night Chasers. We'll be back in a second. All right, welcome back to the Sportsbet Greyhound Racing Podcast, the Non-Chasers. We've... gone out and officially named it this week. That's it. We're back with our multi. We're going to quickly run through this one. Squirrel, Gunner, Sandown Park Thursday night. What are our multi legs?
So, yeah, quaddies 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's all the Sandown Cup legs. So I've gone 1, 2, 3, 6 in the first leg, 2, 7 in the second, 2, 3, 8 in the third leg, and finishing it off with 1, 4, 6, and 8, which is 96 combos.
Beautiful. Comparing that to the multi-man over here, Andrew Gunner.
Leg one, I'm going 1, 2, 5, and 6. Leg two, the two only, just going with Tornado Tears, leaving Rip and Sam out. Leg three, 2 and 6, and leg four, 1, 3, and 8. And off the top of my head, that gives you 24 combos.
Love it. And first thing I ask on next week's show, Gunner, is how that one's going. We've got a bit of a
down. Well, if it's like previous quaddies, no good.
Oh, that's not what you meant to say, mate. That's not what you meant to say.
No, we're gonna lob one sooner or later. So
no, all faith in you, Gunner. Boys, absolute best of the night.
I'm going with you, mate. I'm going with Dinah Patty. Race 3, number 2, Dinah Patty.
Yeah, the 220.
Yeah, 220. Might drift a little bit further on the night, but yeah, you can lock in the 220 now if you want.
Live it and love it. Go up.
I didn't give a tip in race 12, so I'll make it the best of my night. I'm going to go Snug. I'm going to need your help with this one. What number is she? Number four.
She's a $4.50 chance.
Yeah, I didn't think that Come On Emma Lion or Zoom Out, if they did lead, I didn't really think that they'd get too far below, a high 29-second mark, and I think Snug can run them down. It's got a boom finish from races up in Queensland, so it'll make Snug the best of the night.
Love it. And Barking Mad Boys, who do we want not want to go near at with a stick?
Yeah, I'm going Dinah Chancer. Just spoke about it first up over the distance.
Where can we find Dinah Chancer?
It's in the Sandown Cup race 6, I believe. So, yeah, just a few doubts on it running out the trip, and even the box draw could bring it undone.
So steer clear of Dinah Chancer and Gunnup.
Race 2, number 7, Aston DB. Well-credentialed dog, but first up run in a pretty hot series. It doesn't really look ideally drawn, so Aston DB, and can't go past Ebby Ripper as well. Race 7, number 8. She's under the $5 mark at the moment, and I think that looks a good lay also.
Very good. Well, thanks, fellas. There we have it. We've had comprehensive coverage of the Sandown Park evening tomorrow night, Thursday night, and also your best and then those ones that you don't want to go near with. Thanks for coming on, boys, as always.
Thanks Paddy.
And as we always say, if you are going to have a little flutter on the dish lickers, please do so responsibly and within your means. And we've enjoyed chatting greyhounds on another episode of the Non-Chasers. We'll be back next week.